Matthew 26, starting from verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples say the same. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words again. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Sleep and take your rest later on. See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." I'll be focusing on verse 41, maybe for the first half of the message, and then the second half, I'll be looking at Jesus and Peter, contrasting their behavior at this time. So let's read verse 41 again. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I think this is one of the popular verses or phrases in the entire Bible. But I mean, if you're like me, I think unfortunately it is misused. You know, you'll hear people say this: "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And unfortunately, people are usually saying that to excuse their sin. And so that's why I want to look at it again and look at it closely. You know, what it says. Jesus says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, he does not say, "You are free to sin. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He says instead, "Watch and pray." I think humanly, or the flesh, would like to conclude that since the flesh is weak, then I'll be free to sin. But that's far from what Jesus is saying. He's saying instead, "Watch and pray." And the second part of the verse where he says, or the last part where he says the flesh is weak, I think this is obvious for all of us, but I would just like to mention it again. He does not say the flesh is weak for young Christians. You know, the flesh is weak for older Christians, mature Christians. No, the flesh is weak. That is just a fact for all of us. Our flesh is weak. And this is what I've desired to emphasize in this message. And I found in my own life, and I think if you've been a Christian for for a certain time, you will see that you cannot overestimate the weakness of the flesh. You know, we usually overestimate our strength. We are weaker than we think we are. And I don't know whether to say it's sad, but I think it's a good thing that we even have to be taught that we are weak. That is a reality that may sound obvious. Everybody will admit, you know, you'll hear maybe no Christian who will say that they are strong, but we say we are weak and we need to be taught how weak we are because we do not understand. And in fact, we must grow in our understanding of our weakness. And why is this important? I told Christine what I was going to be teaching on, and I told her, I want to teach about the flesh being weak. She said, that sounds sad. Why do you want to teach that? You know, it's in the Bible. And, you know, to the degree we understand our weakness, it's to that degree that we'll seek the Lord. And that's why I want to focus on this. And since I want to look then at the actions of Peter and our Lord to help us understand, you know, why the Lord says this and what we can learn from the life of Peter and the life of our Lord specifically in these verses. Let's read verse 33 and 35 again. You know, Jesus here is telling his disciples that they will all flee and forsake him. And starting from verse 33, Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly I tell you this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples say the same thing. Now, we all know how the story ends. We know that Peter indeed denies the Lord. But I want us to look at what happens before that actually happens, before Peter actually denies the Lord. We see the warning of the Lord here. He's telling him, telling all of them that they will flee away. But Peter says, you know, they'll all fall away. I will not, even if I have to die with you. Now, I believe Peter was honest here. And we see that later in, if you still have your Bible, same pages, same chapter, verse 51. When they come to arrest Jesus, it says, you know, let's read verse 47 first. While he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. We see a great crowd coming to arrest Jesus with swords. These are ready. Jesus was not a fighter. He did not have any guns or swords with him. But they come, a great crowd. In John it says soldiers. But let's look at verse 51. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Now, if you read the same account in John 18, we see that these disciples that cuts off the servant's ear is actually Peter. So I think Peter meant what he said. He was ready to die. You know, he sees a big group of soldiers coming to arrest Jesus. He takes out his sword and is ready to fight. I think Peter is ready to fight and die with the Lord. But we see the words of our Lord to him. He says, verse 52, put your sword back into its place. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? And a few lessons that we can learn from this account is that Peter is ready. Peter meant what he said. Peter is honest. He wants to fight for the Lord. But there is a big problem. He's concerned, or he's wanting to fight using his flesh and blood. But the Lord was fighting another battle. He was fighting a spiritual battle. But Peter has not seen this. And so he uses a sword that is not helpful. You know, as the Bible says, it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. And lost my notes here for a moment. Yeah, but how did Peter get to this point? How did Peter, and we know the rest, we're not going to read the rest. We know what happens. Peter is probably confounded, confused. We know he follows Peter, he follows the Lord the next day and ends up denying him. But how did he get to this point? He first ignored the warning of Jesus Christ. He ignored the warning of the Lord. You know, instead of humbling himself, when Jesus said, "You'll deny me," no, he says, "No, I will not." You know, though he's honest in his own strength, we see that he tries to fight later on, but he has ignored the Lord, and his preparation, our honesty will not do. It is not enough. We must listen to the Lord. And in this case, we must listen to the Word. He has given us the Word. We may prepare to fight the battles the way we think we ought to fight, but that's not what matters. What matters is that we are with the Lord. We listen to the Lord if we will indeed win the spiritual battles. And so we see what happened. At first, he ignores the warning of the Lord. Instead of humbling himself, he thinks he's strong. And then, secondly, in verse 40, we see when the Lord was praying, he came, verse 40, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour?" The Lord is praying through the night, and Peter is sleeping. I think this is an inevitable consequence of not listening to the Lord's warning. We cannot prepare, we cannot watch the way the Lord wants us to watch if we have not listened to His warnings. And why is that the case? We see that the Lord had says, when He says the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, He says watch and pray. Now, what is watching? Watching implies that we know that there is a danger, there is a threat coming. And so we watch against that threat. But Peter is not watching with the Lord here. The Lord says in verse 40 to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Peter does not feel the need to watch because he does not know the danger that's coming. I think he has believed that the Lord might be in danger, but the kind of preparation we can, if we allow ourselves to think here, Peter probably already has his sword. He's sleeping with his sword. If they come to take Jesus, he's ready to fight. But he's not watching the way the Lord wants him to watch. He's not watching spiritually, to say it in other words. So two things that at least we can see from this story that lead to Peter denying the Lord is, one, he ignores the warning of the Lord, and two, he's not watching, but that is inevitable, not watching, because he does not know, he's not aware of the danger that the Lord is talking about. And let's contrast that to the Lord himself. Now we know, as the Bible says, the Lord, he says in John 12, the Lord says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour." So the Lord knew that his hour has come, and praise the Lord. You know, all our souls hang on this moment. And praise the Lord, he did not sin. But the Lord is watching. He knows when the Lord says the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, he's not just talking about Peter. He's talking about himself as well. He knows his weakness and he knows he needs help. And so he stays, he prays, he goes to his father asking for strength, and he prays three times, not just once. You know, I find that in my own life, it sounds so simple, but it's sad that we even have to learn this. You know, we go through trials. That's promised to all of us. We will go through trials if we must go to heaven. And we must win. There is no choice. But you know, we must be taught to ask for help. We must be taught to pray. It's amazing how we pray just once and expect the trial to go away. And that happens many times, or very few times. We go through different kinds of trials. And we see the Lord here going three times, asking for the same thing. He keeps going until he's strengthened. And we must also do the same thing. You'll find that in your own life, you'll go through many trials, and some are momentary, you know. They just happen once. Some are going to stay with you for a while. And you must keep going. The Lord does not get tired of answering our prayers, of giving us strength. It does not matter what it is. Whatever you need strength for, keep going. Learn from the Lord. Go as many times as you need, and he'll give you strength. You know, we're told in Hebrews 4:16 to approach with confidence, to draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, in conclusion, you know, when the Lord says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation," the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He's not giving us license to sin. Instead, he's calling us to watching and praying because our flesh is weak. And I trust and that I not have to convince any of you here of that truth. If you're a Christian indeed, you must abhor, you must hate sin, not excuse it. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." And just a word of, caution or encouragement to any here who might be struggling with sin. The problem is not your weakness, for if you really know your weakness, you'd cry to the Lord and the Lord will help. The problem is usually, even though we might admit it with our lips out loud that we are weak, we really do not believe it if we keep going back to the same sin. Because if we really, you know what Paul says, that in his weakness, the Lord is perfect. So I'll just caution you. The devil, the flesh, will tempt you to think that you're weak. That's why you keep sinning. But that is not the case. You're strong. You'll not let the Lord help you. Do not claim your weakness, but instead humble yourself, and the Lord will give you strength to overcome any sin. The Lord says, wherever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. That is the truth, that is a promise that you can claim, and do not presume about sin. Do not look to yourself, look to the Lord. If you look to yourself, only ask to be pitied by the Lord. And another final thought for all of us, really, is that we need to keep praying and praise the Lord that He keeps showing us our weakness, because knowing our weakness is a great thing. It may not feel great, but that's how the Lord works in our lives. So let us approach again the throne of grace with confidence. Think of the Lord at this moment. Once He was human. Once He was praying. Once he was praying all night, asking for strength. And now He's the one who sits on the throne that we must go to. So surely He understands. So let's read Hebrews. In closing, I hope this is an encouragement to all of us. Hebrews 15, 16. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. Father, we are grateful for Christ. We are grateful for what you've done for us. Father, I pray for myself and for everyone here. Lord, would you open our eyes more and more to our own weakness, that we might indeed seek help? Lord, you are more ready to help than we are to come to you. Father, please help us. Help us grow in this grace, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.